Okay, I think I'm on. Thank you. I hope you're not tired of me yet. Wasn't it wonderful to see Paul and Kyle, our young men up here on the platform? They're the future of our church. We need more of them here. And that beautiful song, Evelyn, thank you for blessing us with that. You don't know how intimidating it is to be up here, but it's even more so when you have a ordained pastor sitting in the congregation listening to you. Pastor Corwin, I hope that you can overlook my flaws, but we're happy to be here. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to be with us. Gracious Father, we are truly glad to be in your house at this time. You've called each and every one of us to be here at this moment for some reason, for some purpose. And we know that purpose is to get to know you better and to equip us to better serve you. So, Father, we dedicate this time to you this morning. May it be a blessing to all of us, we pray in your name, amen. Mario Gomez, age 62, got up that August morning, as he usually did, and prepared to go to work. It was a bright, sunny day out, but it was cold because it was winter time in Chile. And he reported to work, as he normally did, to the Mina San Jose, which was a mine in Chile, which was about 400 miles north of Santiago. And as he worked progressed that day, early that afternoon, there was a large cave-in in that mine. They estimated that there was 700,000 metric tons of rock that came crashing down into that mine. And it blocked the main way out of the mine. There were a lot of men above the cave-in that were able to escape, but there were 33 men that were trapped in that mine. And Mario was one of those men. In fact, he was the oldest of the miners there. Frantically, the mine workers and the owners tried to do what they could, so they immediately tried to send investigating pipes down the ventilation shafts to see if they could find if there were any men still alive. And on the second day as they were doing that, there was another cave-in, and the ventilation shaft that they were attempting to negotiate down was closed up. And so there was no way now to know if there were men still alive down there. And they estimated that there was only a 1% chance of ever finding the men alive. Frantically, they started to bore a hole, another mine shaft, 6 inches in diameter, down the estimated 2,300 feet to where they thought there might be survivors. And after 2 weeks, they broke through, and they found all 33 miners still alive. And here's a picture of Mario taken from that shaft. They had survived that collapse because they were further below, but there was no way for them to escape. They were as dead men, but they were still breathing. And so for 2 weeks, they had been surviving on only 2 days' rations of food that was down there. Because of their discipline, each man would get 2 spoonfuls of tuna and 1 bite of a cracker and a few sips of milk every day. But after 2 weeks, after that shaft was opened up, and they found that they were alive, they were able to send down communication cables, they were able to send food and water down to the men. And now, how to get these men out of there? Well, a plan was devised. They would sink another shaft down to another area of the mine, which was a little bit more stable in the rock. They first drilled another 6-inch line down, and then they had a special drill that would drill a 26-inch diameter shaft. And they estimated it would take up to 4 months to get down that depth. But in actuality, it only took 69 days. And in 69 days, they then sent a rescue cage down. The first time it went down, there was a medic that they sent down to check on the men's condition. And then on the 13th of October, 69 days after being underground, all 33 miners were lifted to the surface. The medic, of course, determining who would come first. Mario was the ninth miner to come up. And if you watch the video, he hugs a few people, and the next thing he does is he kneels down and gives thanks. And I'm sure that Mario could have agreed with this text in 2 Samuel 22:6. The ropes of Sheol tightened around me. The snares of death trapped me. We think of this story, and it really warms our heart in the endurance and what men will put up with to live and what efforts we go to rescue them. But what people don't know is that we are in the same boat as those miners. We are trapped in a mine or a pit. The Bible calls it a miry pit. And we are trapped on this earth of sin. And the unfortunate part is most people don't even realize that they are trapped. But nevertheless, they are trapped. And they are dead men breathing. They are going to die. They're going to die eternally. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, "But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction." And Satan has devised many traps to keep man in bondage. There are people addicted to money, to gambling, television. Psalms 9:16 says, "The Lord is known for his justice. The wicked are trapped by their own deeds." Other traps that Satan uses: food addictions, smoking and drinking. And here's a 2-year-old boy who started to smoke at 18 months in Indonesia. And the father, Muhammad Rizal, said, "I'm not worried about his health. He looks healthy. He cries and throws tantrums when we don't let him smoke. He's addicted." Of course, we all know about drug addictions. And now, of course, prescription drugs are even becoming a bigger trap to many people. Proverbs 29:6, "Evil people are trapped by sin, but the righteous escape, shouting for joy." Sex addictions, sex perversions, there's porn. In fact, if you see this, that 12% of the websites on the internet are pornographic. That comes to a total of 24,644,172. Every second, there is 3,000. Let me see if I can see that number there. Yes, $3,075 spent on pornography. That's every second. And at any 1 second, there's 28,000 people viewing porn on TV. This seems to be one of the more modern traps that Satan is using to ensnare the lives of men. Not only men, but even women. Proverbs 12:13, "The wicked are trapped by their own words, but the godly escape such trouble." So whether or not they know it or not, we are trapped. One way or another, we're all trapped on this earth. We're like those miners in the bottom of that mine. There is no way out. But thank God, a communication shaft was dug to this earth, and God has communicated to us. And he is sending a rescue cart to us. Paul would have said, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" The Bible says in Lamentations 3, verse 47, "We are filled with fear, for we are trapped, devastated, and ruined." Did you know that fear is one of the signs of the end of time? In Luke chapter 21, which is equivalent to Matthew 24, Jesus said, "Men's hearts failing them for fear, and look for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." And so fear is one of the signs of the times. Of course, the other signs, there are earthquakes, and there's famine, and there's wars, and tsunamis, and man's inhumanity towards man. And of course, the financial instability. All of these signs that were predicted by Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, we see fulfilling through our very eyes. We know from Daniel 2, we're not only in the feet, but we are down to the toes. And we may even be towards very end of the toenails. And so we know that time here on this earth, we're only a few grains of sand away from Jesus coming. Only a few seconds left. Luke 21:28 says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." That rescue basket is on its way. This is good news. Good news to all of us. But so many people are out there in fear. They see these things and they go, "Oh, how can this be? How can we survive?" But for those that trust in God, they see these signs and it doesn't cause fear. It causes joy because they know Jesus is coming sooner. So every newspaper title that bears some bad news, you can put the subtitle, "Jesus is one day closer." The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by the shedding of his blood. And in Galatians 3:22, "But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ." What beautiful good news. You know what? I don't know about you, but if there's something good, you can't keep it to yourself. You gotta share it. There can't be any better news than Christ's offer of salvation to each and every one of us. How can we possibly sit quiet in our church pews and not go out and share the good news? But you say, well, how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, our scripture lesson today helps us with this. Here we find in John 1, 43 and 44, "The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Come, follow me.' Philip was from Bethsaida and Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and he told him, 'We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth.' 'Nazareth,' exclaimed Nathanael, 'can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself,' Philip replied." Here Philip sought out his brother and told him about Jesus. Jesus coming from Nazareth. And of course, Nathanael said, "Well, how can anything good come from Nazareth?" Of course, all the Jews knew that the Messiah was supposed to be coming from Bethlehem. And so he legitimately asked the question, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Instead of Philip trying to enter into some lofty discourse about Jesus, what did he do? He invited him to come and see. That's all he did. Come and see. So where did Philip learn this? Well, Just a few verses before that, in John chapter 1, 35 and 36, there we read, the following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples, and Jesus walked by. Jesus looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. And so Jesus used the same technique. He said, "Come and see." Come and see is something that you and I can use too. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the men who heard John and said, and then followed Jesus. And so Andrew came to Simon and brought Peter. Of course, we know Peter became a very powerful apostle. We don't know a lot about Andrew. The scripture does mention him a few times, but we've got pages and pages of information on Peter. So Andrew, just acting as a simple missionary, converted someone that did great things by coming and seeing. And when Andrew went to find his brother Simon, he told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Come and see. There once was an 18-year-old boy named David. He graduated from high school, and his dad expected him to go to college because his dad was a vice principal of a university. But on the day after graduation, David told his dad, "You know, I want to go to California to become a professional skateboarder." Of course, you know what that did to his dad's heart. But being a wise dad, he let his son go. And for a year and a half, he tried to be a professional skateboarder. After a year and a half, after two broken ankles and other scrapes and scratches, he decided that wasn't for him. So he came home. And when he came home, he decided to pursue his next passion, and that was music. And so he started a punk rock band. And he did that for a short while, but found that that wasn't either bringing joy to his life. One of the things he was, though, into that culture was vegetarianism. And so one day he went to a local vegetarian restaurant, happened to be run by Adventist. And the lady there invited him to Bible studies, and for some reason he accepted. And so the time came that he came to the Bible study. Instead of the lady there, there was young gentleman that was also a college student. And David said he spoke so slowly I would fall asleep between words. But this young man led David to Christ, and now he became, and you all know him as David Ashrick. This lady had invited him to come and see. And the guy that led him to Christ was a simple man. He couldn't preach a sermon, but he could share his love for Jesus. And now he brought someone into the church that became a powerful witness. You know, it's the same for each of you and I. We may not be comfortable standing up front here. We may not be comfortable necessarily going door to door or whatever. But we can always invite people to come and see about Jesus. And we're going to have a real opportunity here, because in a couple of weeks, Better Life Television is going to hold a rally right here in our church. And a lot of people know about Better Life Television. So what better opportunity for you to tell your friends, come and see. Come and see. And of course, we all know about 9/11, September 11, the tragedy of that fateful day. But since that time, the world has been focused on radical Islam. And it just seems like the Muslim world is just falling apart at the seams. You know, Libya and Benghazi, what just happened in Egypt. And now in Syria, the whole world is looking at Syria. And what is Iraq and Iran going to do? Everyone is concerned about Islam, radical Islam. What's going to happen there? Yes, just yesterday when I was going to work, one of my girls, we were talking in the car on the way to work, and we were talking about what was happening in Syria and the Islamic world. And she says, boy, the Bible's certainly got to talk about this stuff because it's such a big thing today. And it is. The Bible does talk about it. Here in the 25th of October, we have Tim Rosenberg, who's coming to our church, and his topic is Islam and Christianity. Everyone wants to know about it. Here is an opportunity for our to invite our friends and our neighbors to come and see and learn about Christianity and Islam. He takes the perspective of Daniel 11, and he brings out some precious truths. And here's a short, some of you have seen this, but let's see if we have volume on here. You want to hit the space bar, Larry, to see if you can make it go? Oh, it's okay. There was just an intro that we tried to do, but I thought it would work. He introduces what he's going to talk about. Very, very pertinent for today. And it will answer a lot of your questions about Islam and Christianity. You don't want to miss it yourself, but you don't want your friends and neighbors to miss it either. What an opportunity to learn about the great love God has for all of his children, done in a beautiful way, a very winsome way. And he does it in a way that's very flexible. He has two sermons a night. First night will be a Friday night. It'll just be one. The next night, he repeats the first one at 5:30, and then he's going to, or 5:15, that time to be. Then he has the second one at 7:15 or so. And then if you want, you can come the next night, hear them both again, hear the second one again. Or if you want to skip every other day, you can still get all 10 by just attending five evenings. Very, very convenient. And so a perfect opportunity for us to invite our friends to come and see. However, time is very short. It's only 6 weeks away. 6 weeks until he's here. Surely you know someone that needs to hear about this or has questions about this. Here is our opportunity to act. We can't delay. Jesus is sending his rescue capsule right now. It's going to be coming any day soon. As we look at what we've seen today, we know that his coming is just around the corner. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I want my family with me. I want my kids with me. I want my neighbors with me. But unfortunately, many may not be there because maybe they never received the invitation to come and see. So let's get out there. Let's do it. Let's tell our friends and neighbors and our children about Jesus soon coming.